The world wants the best, and it shall receive the best when God's children give their best to the Lord, because they know that the Lord gives the best to them. There was once a mighty empire upon the earth. God gave this empire 4 young men because they first gave their best to the Lord. Here is how the story begins. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Sadly, Jehoiakim was a wicked king, very much unlike his father, Josiah. Therefore, God sends Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians against Jerusalem to attack it, to destroy it, and to take back with him some of the people, as well as some of their things. Verse 2 says that God gives gifts to Nebuchadnezzar, including the king of Judah and some of the articles of the house of God. Capturing the enemy king is a rich trophy and a humiliation to that king. Capturing the articles of a nation's temple is a rich possession and a humiliation to their God. But in this case, the God of the enemy, that is Jehovah God, is the one who allows the invasion and gives his own people to the enemy. Yet Nebuchadnezzar takes the gifts given to him by God and gives those gifts to his God. For now, Nebuchadnezzar does not recognize the God of the Jews. Therefore, this king takes the worship tools of his victim and brings them into the house of his God, whom he falsely believes has delivered Judah into his hand. Verses 3 through 7 continues the story. It tells us about some young men, good looking, outside and inside. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now, from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. The king captures new servants who are good looking outside and inside. Everything else about his royal palaces, his royal palace, is beautiful. So shall the people be whom he brings in to work for him. However, brainless beauties he detests. Therefore, these young men must be gifted in all forms of wisdom. They must possess knowledge. They have to be able to understand things quickly. And they have to have the ability to serve in the king's palace. That is, they are not intimidated by their surroundings. They are of the king's descendants and of nobility, according to verse 3. Thus, they are familiar with living in royalty. These young men are probably teenagers. Daniel is probably a teenager when we first meet him, so that they shall be able to live in and serve Babylon for a long time. Verse 5 says they are provided for richly. They will have a daily provision of the king's delicacies and a daily provision of the wine that the king himself drinks, and 3 years of training. Training in the ways of the Babylonian as well as their language and their literature and so on. They find 4 young men who fit the qualifications. These men are from Judah, and they are descendants of Judean kings, making them royalty. Which, by the way, according to Isaiah chapter 39, fulfilled prophecy. God had sent a prophet to King Hezekiah of Judah to let him know that this is precisely what would happen. And when you read verses 3 through 7 of Daniel chapter 1, you will find this prophecy in Isaiah 39 being fulfilled. Starting at verse 5 of Isaiah 39, the Bible says, "Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, 'Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon.'" God keeps his word, telling it like it is. Like either how it is going to be or how he wants it to be. We come back to Daniel 1. And we continue the story starting at verse 8. "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be examined before you, and the countenances of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Daniel is a good-looking man. And he is a good-looking man on the inside. And he is a good-looking young man in the spirit. There are those who are good-looking in form and appearance alone. And there are those who are good-looking with intellectual ability. But they are reprobates in the spirit. Not so this Daniel. Of the three thanes appointed by the king, Daniel objects to two of them. First, Daniel purposes in his heart, that is, he resolves and makes up his mind on the course of action that he is going to take. This is a serious matter, for he is a captive who has witnessed the ravages of warfare in his homeland by this very royal court. It may cost him his life. Therefore, he has to be firm in his decision. He is not going to defile himself with the food and the wine that the king appoints. This is a bold step. Daniel not only endangers the life of the chief of the eunuchs, but he endangers his own life also. But then again, has God spared Daniel through the ravages of an invasion of his homeland only to let him die when he is standing up for what is right before this pagan king? No. Daniel knows that God shall stand with him in this affair, even as he has in the earlier part of his life when he was still in Jerusalem. So verse 9 says that God brings Daniel into favor with men. Daniel is not a contrary man, but works with and cooperates with the people who are over him. The chief of the eunuchs does not see Daniel as an unreasonable man. How does Daniel find the goodwill and favor of the chief of the eunuchs? Well, the Bible says that God does these things. But God does these things in harmony with the nature and character of Daniel. Daniel is not a lucky man, but he is a man who works with people. And God rewards him by bringing him into this favored position. God does these things for Daniel even in difficult circumstances. Daniel does not have control over his living conditions. But it is not about Daniel. It is about God. And I think Daniel knows these things to be true. Therefore, he uses his situations for the glory of God. God has a reason for placing Daniel in Babylon. Daniel may not know why, but he works with the situation. If your hand works for God, God's hand will work for you. Now in verse 10 you'll notice that the chief of the eunuchs fears for his life because of Daniel's request. Now the chief might have had Daniel punished, and Daniel's not following the king's orders, but he likes Daniel and he wants to grant his request, but he also likes his own life and he does not want to lose it. Daniel works with this man, so this man works with Daniel. Daniel reaps what he sows. Verses 11 through 13 show that by their appearance, The chief shall judge the young men. Removing the unclean meat leaves only the vegetables. Removing the wine leaves only the water. And Daniel is willing to have his convictions tested. He does not fear the results of following his convictions, which he believes are based on the Word of God. Verses 14 through 16 show that by their vegetables, the chief shall know them. Daniel is agreeable, so the commander is agreeable to Daniel. People work with us as we work with them. As we judge, so shall we be judged. Now we continue in the last part of this chapter, verses 17 through 21, where we're going to find the king himself at the end of the 3 years conducting the interview. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. God is the one who gave these four young men knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And he gave Daniel an extra measure of wisdom in understanding all visions. Now notice in verses 18 and 19 that the king himself conducts this important interview. 3 years have passed, and now the king can have an intelligent interview with these young men in his own language. There are many things that a leader can have others do, but there are some things that only the leader or leaders should do, as in this case, interview the young men who will be advising him on various matters. By the gifts of God, these four young men exceed the skills of all others. Are we surprised? I'm not. If God's given them this measure, then we shouldn't be surprised at all. For the king to come to this conclusion, the king does not necessarily have to be equal or greater than these men in wisdom, but he does have to possess a degree of wisdom and knowledge that he might know what to ask and what to conclude. Therefore, verse 21 says, Daniel will continue in this position of advisor to kings until the first year of King Cyrus, who will be the king, not of Babylon, but of the next kingdom, the Medo-Persian Empire. So evidently from Nebuchadnezzar and through the 70-year captivity until that first year when the Persians conquer Babylon, Daniel's going to be serving all these kings. You know, sometimes we'll hear in our nation about some advisor or someone in a high position who serves, you know, 4 presidents or 5 presidents, but our presidents only go 4 or 8 years. In this case, this man is serving in this capacity for 70 years. Minimum. That's why I said earlier he had to have been a teenager, because by the time the Medo-Persian Empire comes around, he's probably in his 90s. And he's serving them all these years. Daniel is of royal blood. Yet he suffers the attack of an enemy in his homeland and becomes a slave. That sounds like Christians to me. We are a royal priesthood, according to the Apostle Peter. But looking at our surroundings, we may not believe it. Yes, it is true in the Spirit. But one day, we shall see it with our eyes. Daniel does not have to be in Jerusalem or even in Judah to be able to serve the Lord and to be happy. He serves the Lord in wicked Babylon. Let us not complain, therefore, about where we are, but let us ask the Lord to use us, that we might fulfill the purpose for which He has placed us in our current circumstances. This is what Daniel does, although he is not home, but in a place where he really doesn't want to be. Daniel is not conformed to Babylon, but he is transformed by setting his mind to do the will of God. By this he proves what is the good and acceptable and perfect way of God. And others see it and they know it. And he has an awesome influence over all those around him, as we shall see in the weeks to come as I take you through this wonderful book of Daniel. You also be like Daniel. Be converted. Turn from the world. Turn from the Babylon that is around us. And turn to Christ. Die to yourself and be born again, that you might live in Christ Jesus. Have you not done that yet? Why delay? We're going to have an invitation. We're going to sing a song. And during that song, you can come forward. And I'll greet you and show you what you need to do. And if you know that you already need to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, then we can do that this morning as well. We're all ready to do that. Just come forward right now, please, as we stand and sing.